to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers.
Yeah.
Another time roaring. To Wake the Bear.
Oh, yes, yes. It's going to be another great night. Looking forward to all the things that we're going to cover and things that have happened. I had an incredible weekend. I actually wind up going to my first biblical citizenship class.
All right.
Just started another one at Regeneration Church in Scotts Valley.
Yes.
And I saw some familiar faces and a lot of new faces and a lot of people excited to learn about how to get involved in your government and in your country and in your community. And so wow. It was really good. I know that you had helped start and you were attending some earlier ones last year, and I'm a little slow to it, but I did get to start, and it was fantastic. And they had Kirk Cameron do the first session on video. With the Monumental movie, which we had seen, which is amazing. The things that he was sharing. So I was blessed to go, and it was in my own hometown area, so didn't have to travel far. No excuse.
I would love to see that training in every single church in America. It really is. I really do in some ways believe it's like a 1-2 punch. You know, the stuff that we're talking about on this radio show each week, both the national news and California state news, waking people up to what is really going on, waking up to people to an actual sophisticated campaign to hide the truth from people. The Bible says that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The Bible also says that Jesus is the truth. Jesus actually said of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Any man who wants to come to the Father must come through me." And so I really do believe that, you know, the churches are the key because they are willing to actually know the truth and the giver of truth, the author of truth, who is Jesus. And I think the church is showing the truth of the history of American, what makes America great, what has made it great. And I think biblical citizenship class is key. If you can go on the website, I'm glad we're showing this right now, and you can go take the class. I've actually been through the class 4 times, and sometimes I'll miss a week here and there. It's only 8 weeks, and you got to come ready with your thinking cap on, have a glass of cup of coffee or something, because they fly through the content. And Rick Green there is on the who's the founder of Patriot Academy. You've got him and David Barton. You've got, like you said, Kirk Cameron. And you've got all of these pastors who are hosted on this. And it's interesting thing is they actually created this series during the lockdowns. So they kind of mentioned the tyranny that we're standing up against. And I would just encourage you to go. If you live in our region, Santa Cruz right now, go to Regen Church on Sunday afternoons. What time is it at, Ron?
It's 12:30 to 2.
Okay, yeah, 12:30 to 2. Come check it out. It's a fantastic training, and you will not it will blow your mind. It will blow your mind because it's straight text from the founding fathers themselves. Like, and it's not like little snippets off the internet. It's like full texts. They tell you the documents that where it comes from. And, you know, this is one of the things that American kids and students have not been doing it well enough lately, because our education system is messed up, is they're not teaching kids how to read firsthand accounts, like primary source text documents about what people said. And instead, they're reading these, you know, textbooks, and these scholars are revising the history, really, and telling them who really the Americans were, who these, you know, these racist white guys from Europe, you know, of course, when, you know, all the countries had, you know, slavery, these slaveholders. And, you know, when, of course, America was the second major country in the planet to actually outlaw slavery, they want everybody to hate America. And of course, that's the way to separate people from their history. That's the way to separate people from their values, their cultures. Don't tell the stories of how they came into existence. And so it's really important that we do that. So anyways, we come to you tonight from the basement of undisclosed locations. We are missing our third wheel here, so we're a little bit wobbly, but we're doing okay. We're getting our balance. Chris Hurst is out of town, and busy today. She's on a prayer assignment, and we're thankful that she is doing that. But we miss her because she helps write this tricycle that we have going on here.
Yep. And she's that, if you have three wheels to a tricycle or a big wheel, she's that center wheel, that big one with the pedals that, that makes everything move. And we're the little ones behind.
Totally.
So, at least that's how I view it. And so
yeah,
she's missed, but and, at the same time, she's busy doing important things and you know, so yeah.
And we want to remind people, you know, we're, if you want to watch any of our shows, I would say that all of our shows are still very relevant. You could go to wakethebear.com, wakethebearradio.com, wakethebearradio.com. Go to our website, wakethebearradio.com, and look up any of the past shows. Last show, last week's show was amazing. We went through passage of in Nahum, talking about the book or the story of Jonah. Tonight, we've got a great theme that's coming on. That one will be posted probably sometime tomorrow. But, you know, you can get all of our shows there and encourage you to do so. And also email us. You can email Brandon at wakethebearradio.com, Ron at wakethebearradio.com, or Chris, K-R-I-S, at wakethebearradio.com. And we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear that, you know, if you agreed with us or if you disagreed with us or you think we got something wrong. We're here to learn and grow together. And so please email us. We'd love to dialogue with you. And sooner or later here, we'll be back on the radio station as well, doing that simultaneously. That would be kind of fun, taking calls and things like that. But we don't have a whole lot of time for calls because we got a lot of content to cover. So shall we jump in,
Ron? Shall we go in? Yeah. I just want to say we also do daily pauses where we do deep dives and things. I've currently just started series with a gentleman, Dr. Justin Prock, on the history of Revelation, Revelation of History. You might want to check it out. It's probably something many have not heard, and it challenges the current popular view, but it's definitely one that was 500 years plus. Our reformers believed in it. People like Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, you know, back to Martin Luther and stuff. So anyway, some really neat, neat things covered there on the Daily Pause. So yeah, let's jump in. You know, what's going on? We've had, we called this show Rumors of War.
Rumors.
Because no matter if it's in the courthouse, you know, this is war, or if it's in the plains of the Middle East, you know, there seems to be rumors of war. And we call them rumors because, you know, we haven't really seen them fully yet. Although I guess when you're shooting, I don't know, 300 or 1,000 missiles at a country, I guess that would be technically war. I mean, they just didn't happen to penetrate anything, you know.
Yeah,
go on.
Interesting about that, you know, I don't know if you saw this, but there was actually footage, Al Jazeera captured footage of what looked like a triangular ship, okay, floating in the sky and knocking out missiles that are hitting the, being shot into Israel. You know, this is Al Jazeera TV, and people are like, what the heck is that? I mean, like the three triangle glowing dots across the front, you know, what's, you know, so I wonder about what exactly, you know, TR3B-ish that might be. There's, you know, there,
sounds
I just,
like an Illuminati like, ship.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you look at the TR3B, it looks like something like the triangle that comes rests down on the top of the pyramid on our dollar bill. But it interesting about all of this is that there were 1,000, they said, okay, we're waiting for the missiles to be shot. Okay. There were 1,000 missiles shot and nobody died. So it's this fireworks storm in the sky. And okay, of course, got Iron Dome shutting those missile shots down, but nobody was killed during this. And so it's really interesting. And it just leads me to believe, okay, what are they trying to hide? Like, what's going on around the world that this fireworks show is distracting us from? And there's been quite a few different things being, you know, distractions going on. One of them is the World Health Organization is getting ready to ask for a vote from the member state UN member countries about whether to adopt this World Health Organization's sovereignty over all health problems in all the countries. And so this is still going on. I had something I want to play to show this real quick. Let me show this slide or this share the screen. Listen to this.
This morning, the 193 member states of the United Nations approved the political declaration on pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response.
In May 2024, 194 member states of the WHO will have their final vote on both of these international agreements. This process takes place behind closed doors. It is not reported nor discussed in our newspapers, in our national parliaments, in universities, nor in society. The WHO claims in these two legal instruments an absolute and non-questionable leadership in all health matters. As soon as WHO refers itself to pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response.
Yeah, that is pretty darn scary.
Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, you think about it, that much power centralized, and you don't think there's going to be any corruption, any one hand gives money to the other hand. You have all these, Pfizer CEOs in charge or involved. You don't think there's any hanky-panky going on with the finances and the direction? Yeah.
How about this, Ron? What about, so remember how they told us all of these variants are going to come from COVID-19? All these massive variants. Oh, no. Like, where do they all go? Like, this is what I'm trying to figure out here. So, where's the media coverage that was going on in wars? Like, for instance, right now, the Ukrainian war, it's like out of news cycle. And it's like, isn't it going on every day? Isn't there bombing, killing going on? I believe that there was a war going on. Don't get me wrong. But like, why is there not regular on the ground reporting of the news of what's going on? We get nothing. I mean, you look at like the Iraq war, you look at the first and second, wars that took place, Desert Storm, wars. Like, we had some regular media footage tracking all this, and it's like, oh, we hear is the guy in the green shirt asking for more money, but we don't actually know what's going on down there. And it just feels like a massive laundering of money going on.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting. I had a talk with a young man yesterday, actually, and he thought that Russia's barely hanging on because they haven't taken over Ukraine, so they must be losing in Ukraine. We need that final push. And I'm like, what planet are you from, man? Because I'm telling you, they got little kids fighting and old men fighting. The average age is like 45, and it's like 45. Right. No one's even on the battlefield by that age usually, unless you're a high commander, but. It's obviously, and then I said, have you listened to anybody like McGregor? What was his name? His first name?
General McGregor.
Yeah. He just said that it's already over. I mean, it's basically over. And the only reason why Russia hasn't completely wiped them all out is because that's not what they want to do. They're not even interested. He used to say, well, why haven't they taken over? He's like, they don't really want that. You just don't want them being NATO, which, by the way, I think it was last week or something, or week before, we decided, hey, we're going to make Ukraine part of NATO. It's like, really, in the middle of a war, that's automatically pulls everybody else into war. Is that really what we want? Is that really what Europe wants? It's one thing to do it in peacetime, and I'm not saying it's okay. It's a violation of a ton of treaties. We promised we wouldn't go eastward, and we've broken that promise many times, going eastward. So anyway, it's a war here, war there. Why don't we jump on to the Iran issue? I showed a picture earlier, and I saw it in a meme. On the left, you have all these like swirly type of Iron Dome stuff, and it says your tax dollars at work. And then you go to the right and all these missiles going straight over, and it says your tax dollars at work. It's like we're funding both sides of this picture.
Right.
And I'm serious when we say that. You know, there was there were four hostages that were released by Iran. And ultimately, according to even mainstream news, we paid up to $1.7 billion. That's like $500 million a person almost. You know, that for each person, my goodness, that is just crazy. And, you know, where did all that money go and what did it do? And, you know, part of that 1.7, some of it was interest and things like that. But there was a $400 million payment that was done. And I'm sure you remember that, where it was under the Obama administration, where they had pallets of cash. They put it in these pallets planes and they dropped it off there. Cash. I mean, just big pallets, you know. It's just like, what are you doing? You know, I thought we don't deal with terrorists. I thought that was the standard, you know, don't negotiate with terrorists. You know, you have a hard line. Otherwise, they'll always come back for more, you know. And so
right.
I'm
wondering, they'll come and kidnap more people so they can get more money for those people.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just, you know, it's inviting for more of this. It's inviting more terrorists or more organizations that don't have our best interest. They're like, hey, look, they got, you know, 1.7 billion. Wow. If we even get half that, we're going to be sitting really, really good. You know? And so,
yeah.
And then you have a bunch of people that are just like protesting, you know, the whole thing, Gaza and all that stuff, you know, and this was our own Golden Gate Bridge, which is just, you know, an hour away from where we live. And they shut the whole thing down. And these people came out with, you know, banners and stuff like that. So, and I don't know. I don't see how you make any friends doing that or win people over to your idea. Especially everybody is stuck in traffic, you know.
Totally.
They get quite frustrated.
Yeah, that's not, you know, this is not how to win friends and influence people. This is how to tick off a bunch of people.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And I'm assuming that maybe the first three cars were protesters themselves. I would have thought someone would just run right through saying, I'm not going to wait, miss my day at work because of these crazies. But anyway, yeah. So what happened? Why did Iran send all those missiles? I mean, did they just do it unprovoked? And yeah. What I found was that it's actually in response to an attack Israel did in Syria. And so, you know, I was just looking at the Al Jazeera. I wanted to see what their view on it was. And it said Israel launched two of its largest and deadliest strikes on Syria in the past week. And this was written this past week, April 1st, actually, you know, promising more attacks. And so they felt like they had to retaliate, you know, so that's what they said they would do. And they even told them, we're going to retaliate for what you're doing. And so you're getting a back and forth now, back and forth. And what's scary about this,
the attack wasn't actually in the country of Iran, right? Iran,
right.
It was actually near it, but not actually in it. And they strategically took out some generals, right? Iranian generals. So
yeah, and it was reported that the embassy to the Iranian embassy, but then they've come back and say, no, Israel came back and said, no, we didn't actually take out the embassy. It was just down the road. So, you know, no. I don't know who to believe on these. You know, I think they're both at fault. You know, I think Israel's just designed to create war. I mean, you know, you go in and you take a bunch of people out of this land or you start saying, oh, you'll have to coexist. And next thing you know, one is, you know, pushing the other out. I mean, it's just too, it's like getting a MAGA and an Antifa saying you have to live in the same house in peace, you know, or something like that. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, you know, too close to quarters there, headquarters, you know. You know, it's, you look at the whole Temple Mount, right? You know, the most holiest on two opposing religions, you know, religions that are different. But, you know, I mean, one city block is like, oh, this is the most holy, you know, this is where we had our temple. and oh no, this is the most holy. This is where we have our dome, you know, dome mosque, of the rock, yeah. Where yeah. Abraham sacrificed his kid, and you know, and it's just like right there. It's like of all yeah. the places, you know, there's miles and miles of land. You got to pick the same city block and build yeah. right on top of each other, it's just a recipe. You know.
When I went there, it was interesting. You know, there's actually on the Dome of the Rock, on the mountain, there's the Dome of the Rock, and then there's another mosque right to the right of it. So you've got these like two mosques on the Temple Mount. Like,
yeah.
And no temple there. So it's like, you know, it's very challenging. You know, when I was there, we were a bunch of college students coming in with our Bibles, and they're like, oh, you can't bring this in here. I'm like, really? I can't bring my Bible into your mosque? And they're like, no. I said, okay, but it's still in here. So I said, I'll leave my Bible outside to go inside into the mosque. But yeah, it's a crazy world. And I kind of want to go back to the point you made about the money, you know, that was given to Iran, you know, to free those hostages. You know, on September 13th, 2023, they gave them, you know, a bunch of money, and they said, don't worry, this isn't going to go to Iran. They're not going to be able to use it for what they want to use it for. You had the Biden administration up there telling us that, you know, and then on January 4th, 2024, they have, actually saying, well, okay, so this money was used for this. You guys were going to track it, right? So what's happening here?
We'll be able to engage in oversight about where the money was going and for what purpose.
September 13th, 2023.
If Iran tries to divert the funds, we'll take action and we'll lock them up again. And there will be sufficient oversight to make sure that the request is valid and that it's going through vendors who we and the Qataris can trust will actually contract for the goods, the medical equipment, the food, whatever it is. The regime doesn't get to touch the money, Peter. Doesn't go to them. They don't get to decide ultimate destination, and they have no direct access to it.
John.
And then we'll go to January 4th, 2024.
Iran made two transactions withdrawing from the previously frozen funds in Oman. What were those transactions for?
I don't have the details on that, Jackie. You're gonna have to let me get back to you on that.
No, we have to circle around.
Yeah, we'll have to go back on it. I thought you were gonna monitor it. You didn't punish them, make sure they don't use that money. You know, the billions of dollars that we gave them, they're not gonna use it forever. It's just a joke.
So I see two things that are disturbing about that. One is you get $400 million in cash on a pallet. So you can't control that, right? Cash is king when it comes to black market and things like that, and just legitimate stuff as well. But the other thing that bothers me is now to be able to have that much control over money, digital form of it, you know, bank accounts, freezing it, saying, hey, this can't be. That's the kind of power that it may be done to them. And next thing you know, it could be done to you and I, because we may disagree with what they say is right. And, you know, and so that's very concerning. You know, it's not really money if they have that much control over it. It's like, I'll let you spend it here in your 15-minute city, but you go to try to use that card outside your 15-minute city and it's going to say, oh, sorry, can't, doesn't work. You know, I mean, there's a lot of, anyway, that's what I saw out of that one. So, it's just a mess.
Well, and the question, you know, a lot of people are worried, you know, World War III is going to be starting, and they're looking at Ezekiel 37, the Battle of Armageddon. You know, they're looking at the Bible one hand, the notes, you know, what's going on in the world. And be honest, I do that as well. I mean, I think we're called to search the scriptures. We're called to know what the Bible says about these various things and to pay attention. But there's also varieties of scholarly opinions about this. I know that, Ron, you're a historicist. I tend to be a futurist. You know, there's a variety of ways of looking at these prophecies, but really, ultimately, we are to look and see what is going on in the world. What is the season that we're in? Jesus told us to watch the seasons, even though we don't know, like, for instance, the day or the hour that Jesus is to return. The Bible's very clear about that. In fact, it says that not even Jesus, not even the Son of Man, knows the day of the hour of the son of the son's return, which means only the Father knows. And that whole thing is modeled after a Jewish wedding. It's like the Father is with his Son and they're setting up all the bridesmaids and getting everything prepared, and then they're waiting for the groom to show up. And you can tell it's getting closer and the hour is getting later, but it's like that moment where the father says to the son, all right, go get your bride. We don't know when that is. And even the son, even in the story, doesn't know when the father's going to release him to go get his bride. So it's really important that we don't, you know, make dates and hours. And when we start making charts, we have to really be careful, because we don't, we're looking through a glass dimly, you know, and we'll see everything clearly in the coming age. So, you know, we're going to understand everything, but right now we're still looking through a glass dimly. We have to hold to our conclusions about what's going on very, very gently. And we also need to pray for peace. We're not praying for the end of the world. We don't want Armageddon to happen. We realize that God can with the cyclical pattern of revelation and prophecy. Sometimes it looks like very close to something's about to happen, and then it pulls back. And I would say, for instance, like, you know, during World War II, you know, the world was almost taken over by Nazi Germany, and I think Hitler was an Antichrist, and, you know, maybe not the Antichrist, because he was killed, right? But an Antichrist. So we've seen these cycles where the church rises up and we take authority and we stop evil from happening. And so that's what Wake the Bear is about, is like, we're trying to wake the church up, both in California and in the nation, so that we step into our co-rulership authority with Christ. You know, and I'll make this last point, you know, people, Jesus was asked by the Pharisees, you know, should we pay taxes to Caesar? You know, should we pay the taxes to Caesar? You know, and he said, well, whose face is on the coin? And they handed him a coin and they said, that's Caesar. And he says, well, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's. But in America, in modern democratic systems, specifically in America, we the people are Caesar. So if we the people do not rule our own country, we allow the people to make backdoor deals in secret, and we aren't getting involved, and we're letting things become darker and more sick and more wicked, we're responsible. And I would say even the church, the pulpit's responsible. Charles Finney, who was called he was considered to be like the father of modern revival, he said if the things in culture, like if our government becomes so sick and corrupt, it's the church's fault. He literally says it over and over again. The very foundations are corrupted in our government. It's the pulpit's fault, because the job of the pulpit is to be the conscience of the nation. So we have to be speaking to these events, to these things that are going on, and to abnegate from that responsibility that the church has been doing, and like it did, Lutheran Church did in Nazi Germany. When we take ourselves out of that, and we're not being salt and light, we hand the reins of government over to guys like Adolf Hitler. We hand the reins over to the CIA, the FBI, all these unelected bureaucracies that are actually operating in secret and not the American people. And that's why, you know, the congressmen get up there and they ask, you know, McCabe and these various, you know, Comey, these FBI directors, you know, why are you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? You're required to tell us. And they're like, well, I can't tell you that. Well, I can tell you in a skiff behind the scenes. You know, it's like, well, how the heck can we the people rule if secret agencies are actually controlling our government? They're the ones actually without account to the people. And here's an interesting fact, and I'll end with this. The term occult means hidden. The term occult means to cover or to hide or to be hidden. So and I was talking to actually Dr. Jerome Corsi this week, and I mentioned this to him. I said, the agencies, the secret societies, these agencies by themselves, by the very nature of what they do, these spy agencies are by very nature occultic by that definition. Because they're doing hidden, and they're not up above board where actually the American people can question and see what's going on. So anyway,
brought into the light. Yeah, it's darkness.
Yes, brought into the light. Absolutely. And then here's one. I want to show this one quick slide that goes along with what I'm saying here. This just happened this week. Breaking: a disgraced former deputy FBI director, Andrew McCabe, this morning on CNN finally admitted that the FISA application process that was signed, that he signed to spy on Trump advisor Carter Page, was wrong. There were many mistakes that FISA made, and he confessed that it was regrettable. Okay, This has been going on for what now, 6 years? And finally, yeah. the FBI direct. Now, guess what? No one's hearing about this. No one's actually holding this guy accountable. But and our entire government went shifted one direction, and they spied on. Remember when they Trump said I have to leave Trump Tower because they've tapped my phones and they're spying on me, and everybody went, "Oh my God, she's just a crazy man."
You're crazy. Yeah.
This they just admitted it. They did use a secret port to spy on Trump.
And this admittance is like on the back page of a newspaper, you know, never seen, you know, I mean, it's all the Never Trumpers that probably saw that originally because it was that, you know, on CNN, you know. And so there's a few people that might watch it just to get what we're seeing here, you know, printed out. But yeah, it goes on deaf ears there anyway. But yeah, that's, you know, you talked about how the church rose up against Adolf Hitler. You know, they took a responsibility and a moral stance saying, hey, we can't let this happen. What I'm afraid is what's happening is almost the opposite with this war starting with Israel, you know. You know, I was just watching a special. I think you might have been texted that too from a friend.
Yeah.
You know, it's talking about like the religious right or however they want to phrase it. You know, they put it in a bad
evangelicals, bad light. Evangelicals, mostly
evangelicals, you know, that they are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over Israel. And, you know, they Israel can do no wrong. And as a result, they look the other way. You know, there have been a lot of complaints. You see these protesters, which I hate protesting. It just drives me nuts. Most protesting because it's something that's opposite of what I believe. But if I really just take a minute and listen, I've heard some horrific stories that should be addressed, you know, and I think there has been an unfair treatment of a lot of these people. You know, they're getting squeezed out. But the evangelical church says, we'll just look a blind eye, you know, and they go off of that verse, which I'm going to call up right here. Genesis 12, 1-3 says, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So you always hear that. Sorry, you always hear that that said, you know, those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel.
Absolutely.
And it's like, wait a minute. I have this chart here, Abraham's posterity. And over here, I have Abraham. And Abraham had three wives, or I should say three ladies.
Two wives, two concubines.
There you go. And so, you know, you have Hagar, who had Ishmael, and the Ishmaelites were, they started with 12 tribes, and they became known as the Arabs. Then you have Sarah, which is the woman of promise, and her son was actually the son of promise, which was Isaac. Mm-hmm. And Isaac had two sons, Jacob, who later became Israel, and another son, Esau. And so these guys were brothers. And one swindled the other, and the other was, you know, it's an unfortunate story, but, you know, Jacob, he took the birthright from Esau instead of relying on God to do that. But Esau, he had Edomites, and Edomites were generally the enemies of Israelites in the Bible. You find them always, you know, fighting, and they credit them to be the local Arabs in that area, Edomites. There's Idumeans. They were the people just south of the Israelites in the Promised Land back in the Old Testament. And then when you look at Jacob, who became Israelite or Israel, he had 12 sons, and they were known as Israelites. And basically, you had 12 tribes. I say basically because there were some two half tribes that make a tribe, Joseph's two sons. But you basically had 10 tribes, and then you had what they called Jews, which was actually the house of Judah and Benjamin. And what's really interesting is Benjamin was actually the only son born when Jacob's name was Israel. So, and he was promised to be the light bearer. And all of your disciples, except for Judas, came from Benjamin. And also the Apostle Paul came from that tribe. But anyway, you have these Jews here. And then one more is this third wife, Keturah, more Arabs, Midianites, right, yeah, and things like that. So you have a lot of people in that area that came from Abraham. So when God said, bless those who bless you, Abraham, and I will curse those who curse you, Abraham, how come we get just the Jews saying, or Christians saying, oh, bless the Jews, you're blessed. And if you curse the Jews, you're cursed. When there's a whole bunch of people in this bottom line. I mean, quite a few Arabs that are descendants of Abraham. So you could say, what's the line of promise? And even if you do the line of promise, you still have 12 tribes. Where are those other 10 northern tribes? Those tribes that got taken into Assyrian captivity, they were actually promised all the great, great things. They were promised they'd be a great and mighty nation, a company of nations. They'd be God's battle axe, the light, not light bearers, that would be Benjamin, but they would, have the resources of the sea and of the land and all these things. And then with the Jews, you actually have a further breakdown of the Jews. And one of the big breakdowns was about 800-900. You had this group of Turkish-Mongolian mixture of people and probably others as well. They were known as Khazars or Khazaria. Right about Kiev, right where actually we have a war right now. So you have Russian Jews, you had Polish Jews, you had German Jews. This whole area converted to Judaism, yet they don't have an ounce of Hebrew blood in them. Not to say that you also had Israelites that went through this pass as well centuries before. So, you know, it's not 100%, but the majority of these people don't have an ounce of Hebrew blood in them. And they are the ones that came back to the quote promised land, to Israel. It was the one, the Yiddish speaking from Europe, and they were the ones. And so you have a group of people who are not the same people as the Jews in the Bible. And even the Jews in the Bible by Jesus' time were completely watered down. You had a bunch of Judeans, the tribe of Judah. They were taken into captivity in Babylon, and only 42,000 came back. But before they did, it said many became Jews for fear of the Jews. This was during Esther's time when the Jews were allowed to defend themselves, and they became quite powerful to the point of 100 years before Jesus. You had John Hyrcanus, which was a high priest, but he was also a military leader. He forced all the neighboring countries around them to convert to Judaism. So here you have two instances where people actually converted to become Jews. So it's, you don't hear that about Chinese or Latinos, to convert to be a Latino, right? It's always race-based there. But for this, for some reason, Jews, you can convert to become a Jew. And so those are two instances. So by the time Jesus comes along, even Herod is an Edomite, even though he's a Jewish leader.
So what you're saying is that the bloodline of those who are truly of Israel or of Abraham, right? Because the promise was made to Abraham's descendants. There's a variety of them that are not true Abraham's descendants. Is that what you're trying to say? Like, there's a lot of people that are.
Yes, and that would be in the Ashkenazi. Okay. I always get you mixed up.
Ashkenazi and the Khazarians.
Yes, that would be, those people would not have the Hebrew background. That whole place, what happened was, is you had Christians in the north, Muslims in the south. Khazari is like, we want a religion. We want to refine our people. We're not going to pick either of those because we're going to be the buffer zone. And so it was King Joseph, that was the king at the time of Khazaria. He hired three religions. He hired a Muslim, a Christian, and a Jewish rabbi. And he said, tell me why I should become your religion. And basically the rabbi won because he says, well, we're actually the basis of both Christians and Muslims, the Old Testament. So you're probably best with us. And he liked that argument. And so they converted. I think they hired like 600 rabbis, converted the whole country. So I say this because Christians will not know this history at all. And they think that all 12 tribes are represented by Jews. and that the Jews are literally the pure blood of the people in the Bible, when that's not. In fact, there's a lot of warnings against it. I mean, you know, John 20, I think in the upper room, you know, the disciples were hiding for fear of the Jews, it said. And it's like, that seems like an odd thing to say, well, you know.
Yeah, you know,
why don't you just say fear of the people, or fear of the right. their local, you know, it's like, was it a different group of people? You know, and then obviously Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, you know, be very aware of, you know, those that claim to be Jews that are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. And so, you know, you have this push. What's with the synagogue? You know, that wasn't an Old Testament thing. It came out of Babylon. And so, you know, are those hints to things? They should be at least questions to be looked into. And I've never heard a mainline evangelical pastor really address those two verses in Revelation. What are they? Was it right. a small sect of people? So with this confusion, what happens is we're ready to rush to war. Let's give them armaments. And you know, there's just no holding back on finances to fund this. And so, you know, you have these Arabs who are, you know, shaking their fist and wanting to fight. And we're like, well, we're just going to back up Israel. And it just looks like a recipe for World War III. Definitely not a blessing for blessing that particular area of in the region. So,
yeah. And I think you're right there. I think the key here is, and the whole point is that we need to be really careful that the modern political nation state of Israel is not 100% equivalent to the ancient descendants of Abraham. What did you say? That's kind of the main point. So the modern physical political nation state of Israel is not the equivalent of all the descendants of Abraham. And so when you say that promise to Abraham, not all of them are Abraham's descendants. So therefore, it's, you know, that bloodline doesn't necessarily mean that it's, you know, that modern state of Israel. Now, are there good, loving people who just want peace, who live in the modern state of Israel? Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Descendants of Abraham in that country? Of course there are. You know, the Jews are the descendants of it. The Yehudas from the Judah, those are the descendants of Abraham. So they're in there. But there's also people from other tribes, the other 10 tribes, and people that aren't from any of those tribes, the 12 tribes. So we just have to be really careful not to just rubber stamp anything Israel does. And if you go back, and I think I showed this in one of the previous shows, Benjamin Netanyahu sitting in a family room with a family, and he's saying, yeah, listen, 80% of Americans are going to agree with us no matter what we do. Like, almost like he's preparing for something, like telling them. So we don't really have to worry, because most people in America, 80% are going to, you know, support us no matter what we do. That's not okay. If you think about it, like, I don't even support all the things our country does, right? So why would I just just give a complete rubber stamp to everything Israel does? And same thing if my brother, and I said this before, but if my brother was beating his wife, I would be saying, hey, dude, why are you beating your wife? Like, you're my brother. That's not how we act, you know? And I would say, you're a Christian. That's not, so we need to hold people accountable to who at least they say they are. And, you know, and so I look at like this battle going on. I'm pro Israel for sure. The descendants of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, you know, I do believe there's a blessing involved there, but we need to hold them accountable, because there's a deep state in Israel, the Mossad, just like there's a CIA here and the Five Eyes in other countries that are working behind the scenes, that are on the surface giving the storyline they want you to believe, but on the other side, they're doing other things that you're not finding out about, because no one's sniffing and looking and actually being journalists anymore. They're just believing whatever the mainstream media tells them to believe. And that's the part we need to really, really be careful about.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with you that I'm probably a little bit more beyond that as far as that stance. You know, I think there was a regathering of Israel, and it wasn't over there in Palestine. I think that the state of Israel was created by the Rothschilds and a very dark family, and God's hand is not in it. I mean, it's very secular. I mean, you know, just Tel Aviv is just filled with debauchery in their stance on things, very liberal. But also that they've rejected Christ, you know, and Jesus cursed that fig tree. The fig tree is that fig tree nation is Israel. Very clear. You know, you go to Jeremiah, he talks about the figs. There's two groups of figs, good figs and bad figs. And the good figs, you know, they'll know him and my sheep hear my voice. And the bad figs are so bad that they can't be used. And Jeremiah with the clay pots, he actually had one clay pot that was marred. And he said that was actually Israel, those 10 northern tribes. They were marred, but God fixed it and reshaped it and used it. And Judah, the Jews, that pot, he just said, smash it so it can't ever be put back together. And he said to that fig tree, may you never bear fruit. And so when you see that nation getting green leaves, it's the same. That's the same condition as when Jesus had cursed that tree. He saw that fig tree and it had green leaves, but it didn't have figs. And then Revelation, or not Revelation, but when they talk about the end times, when will this happen? And he'll say, you know, hey, look at the parable of the fig tree when it's, you know, its leaves turn green. And so,
Well, and here's a verse that kind of goes along with that also, you know, the prophecy is about, you know, when John the Baptist was preaching and he said, you know, do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to, of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn, cut down, and cast into the fire. So, you know, Israel failed to receive the Messiah. They, you know, they chose to reject, you know, Jesus as the Messiah. So it says that they were cut down, and that, and God can raise up children of Abraham from almost a different group of people, right? So there's that as well. So there's, you know, which of course, you know, the nations, who believe in the Messiah, I would think is he's probably talking about are who the children of the true children of Abraham are.
So. My sheep hear my voice. He said, go. He says, I've come, but only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, those 10 northern tribes. And he says, go, basically he says, go find those sheep. And then you follow where the disciples went. They went into Europe, right? They went into France. They went into Britain. They went all the way up through, you know, Rome and through Greece and Turkey and those churches. You know, I mean, when even Paul talking to the Romans, he says, our father, Abraham, according to the flesh, you know, he's talking about our father, you know, he was talking to Israelites. They were spread out through the nations. That was part of their punishment. And we're probably getting off on a whole thing. I just say all that to say, we need to be very careful about our policies and sometimes a misinterpretation or one that's not completely thought out affects U.S. policy. And then it gives Christians a bad name. At least when I saw that documentary, I was very grieved by it. But I'm like, yeah, I mean, they're kind of showing the true fruit of some of this, you know, this understanding. And it was called pray for Armageddon. They want Armageddon, you know, and then they think when it gets bad enough, we're just going to get raptured out of here and then let all hell break loose and we'll come back with Jesus and save the day, you know?
Well, and you got like, guys and you guys like Lindsey Graham, sorry to interrupt you. They got guys like Lindsey Graham who are, you know, saying just make, you know, Iran a parking lot. And you're like, wait a second. I mean, they talk about Jonah, you know, Jonah wanted God to wipe out Nineveh. It's a very, actually pretty close location. And God's like, there are children in there that don't, you know, they're right from their left. And you want to just make it a parking lot, Lindsey Graham? Like, there are people right now in Iran who are mostly Persian, okay, who used to live under a democratically free society before the mullahs took over, and they don't want the Republic of the Islamic Republic, and they're actually more European than they are Arab, and they're basically there saying, listen, hey, we don't, you know, you guys, why don't you guys fight for us? Like, you're all about democracy. You know, the women there are like saying, you know, we're getting harassed and killed and thrown in jail if we don't wear a hijab. You know, the men who are protesting the government are getting put in jail and killed, and the people, there's actually a chance here for Iran's government to be reformed and to change and to have a more free government. But instead, we're talking about wanting to blow them up, Lindsey Graham. Like, and this is the problem that I think, you know, and we'll go back to some of the other shows that we talked about. You know, it was revealed that there was a deep state plan to start a war with Russia. Right. And of course, now there's this war going on with Ukraine. Yeah. The 16-year plan. And, you know, and there, and part of that was the starting a war with Russia and, of course, including Iran. And we've been funding Iran. We're funding both sides of these different particular conflicts. And now they're, now these wars are happening. This one, you know, and what is it that, you know, the deep state is getting out of these wars? And I really believe this is a Hegelian dialectic. They're trying to freak us out, get us scared, create chaos that scares us, so then they can usher in more control, take away more human rights, both in our country and the countries around the world. And these wars are used to be a distraction. They're used to usher in their own agenda. And, you know, the 16-year plan, you know, was to, you know, bring in a global government. And we just need to be really careful, you know, that we're not just playing into the hands of the people that are manipulating us from the top to just get us to fight each other. And that's, you know, that's one of the things we say in here on a regular basis, that men and women are not our enemy. There's an enemy behind them. That's Satan. Satan is our enemy. And we need to really, and there are certain men and women that are, you know, being fully controlled by Satan. And of course, we still say Satan is our enemy, not them. But there's also some dark forces within our government and these other, you know, intelligence agencies who are functioning on their getting their own agenda move forward, but manipulating and using the American people and the people around the globe to get us to acquiesce to what their ultimate end is, which is ushering in global control. And so we just need to keep our eye on the ball and not get too sidetracked by some of the things that are going on. And, you know, and I, you know, we can shift now or we shift later, but we know there's the whole trial that's happening with Donald Trump that just started today. You know, we could jump into this, you know, this is the type of thing these deep state guys are doing. Do you want to jump into that, Ron?
Yeah, sure. I just wanted to close with a statement that, you know, I know there's talk about Albert Pike, who is a Mason, big high up there Mason. And he supposedly he talked about three world wars to get total control over the people. So just what you're saying, you know, it's been scripted out. And, you know, there obviously there's a lot of articles saying, oh, that's not true. But, you know, when you own the press, you're going to say that. Yeah, he had talked about using three world wars. And that was a plan, a long term plan to get total control over people. And you see that, you know, what happens during war, you break down those high powers, you break them down and you elevate, and, you know, it's a money thing as well. But yeah, let's go into the war in the courtroom. If you'd like, let's go okay, with
let's
that.
Let's jump into that. I just wanted to show people to check out Pike and Mackey took what was just a simple brotherhood. Masons started off more of a simple brotherhood, and they brought in all kind of occultic practices into them. And you can actually read a really good book by David Barton on this. He goes back and shows when it became corrupt and who was behind it. And Mackey, Albert Mackey and Albert Pike were both guys that brought the occult into it. All right. So let's check this out.
They were just changing. I mean, and people say, oh, Washington was part of the Masons. You know, you see him with a Bible in his hand, you know. And just a clarification, he didn't pick out a Bible. Someone ran real quick, said, hey, we should probably do a Bible for this thing. And they went to the local Masons, unannounced to George Washington. And even one of George Washington's letters, he's like, you know, I haven't attended one in over 30 years. And I have some questions about it's actually become a questionable group of people and stuff like that. So anyway, let's jump into this. This is the other big news story. So we had two. One was talking about Iran and the issue there, and now the courtroom in our own backyard here in New York.
It says here that this is Donald Trump. He truthed today. I think that's what he calls his Twitter account, as a truther. You know, he's got his own social media platform, but of course it gets, you know, when it goes on Truth, it goes to all the social media platforms. But here it is. In addition to being prohibited from attending my son Barron's high school graduation, I've just learned that the highly biased judge in the Soros-appointed DA Alvin Bragg's witch hunt case will not allow me to attend the historical presidential immunity argument in front of the United States Supreme Court on Thursday, April 25th, next week. This shows such great disdain and disrespect for our nation's highest court, especially for a topic so important as presidential immunity, without which our country would never be the same. So, you know, if we go back and listen, you know, You know, they're prosecuting Trump for, you know, things like, you know, having documentation. And he says, I have the right to those because I was the president and I declassified them. And so I have the right to have them. And but then they're going to prosecute him. But Joe Biden, who's not a president, who wasn't a president at the time, took a bunch of classified data, put it in his house. And then they said, oh, well, we can't really, you know, we can't really prosecute him because he's an old man who can't remember things. Right. So,
yeah,
you see this double standard going on, you know, over and over again.
This is actually horrible. I saw this one, and you know, to not be able to go to the immunity argument in the Supreme Court. I mean, there's two things I see. One, Bragg thinks that he's more important than the Supreme Court, but you know, this also affects what happens in Bragg's court, and he doesn't want the Supreme Court's, you know, answer, or he doesn't want them to shoot his own case down. He's got such a bias against President Trump that you would think he would at least give him that week off or that day off, you know, saying, hey, I know that you've got another case that you're involved in or could be. And you know,
or the graduation of your son, right? You know, there's no holds barred. These guys are so corrupt. They just want to, and then they tell him, oh, and by the way, you can't speak to media about this and you can't talk about this and you can't speak in the courthouse. And while you're here, we want you to be silent. You know, like, wait a second. I thought this was America. Yeah. You know,
I got actually a little clip on that, that part right there. Let me jump in and show that clip. It's actually Avenatti of all people. I just thought it was very interesting. So let me go to that real quick.
Share screen.
Yeah. Yep.
Michael Avenatti, the guy who used to represent Stormy Daniels. They were frolicking around together. We were all wondering what was going on there. Turns out he broke the law. He's in prison, going to be there for a little bit longer. But he called in on NBC News show and explained what he thought about the Stormy Cohen Bragg trial that is scheduled to start on the 15th. And it's a surprising interview because Avenatti is no fan of Donald Trump, but he laced into the Bragg prosecution and Cohen's credibility and Stormy's credibility. And even Trump is saying, you know, Avenatti sounded pretty good these days. He posted this on True Social, and Avenatti posted this, I guess, from prison. He said, we can't be hypocrites when it comes to the First Amendment, you know. It's outrageous that Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels can do countless TV interviews. They can post on social media. They can make money on bogus documentaries, all by talking crap about Trump, but he's gagged and he's threatened with jail if he responds. Trump said, hey, thank you, Michael Avenatti. A good point, dude, for revealing the truth about two sleaze bags who have, with their lies and misrepresentations, cost our country. And so Michael Avenatti.
And he goes on. Yeah, he shows actually where Michael calls into a show and speaks. But, you know, basically, even I was surprised to see that, to be honest. But even he's saying, hey, look, this is way beyond, you know, fair. I mean, so two people get to talk against President Trump. They get to talk all kinds of crap against him and say, oh, this and that, but he's not allowed to defend himself. You know, so since when can you not defend yourself? If somebody says something, and even libel, right? If it was total libel, it just made up, which I believe it is, if you can't defend yourself, then how can you be tried for libel, right? I mean, you can't even say that's not true. I mean, he's gagged. So it's just really, really horrid what they're doing to President Trump. And you know what? It's winning a lot of people over. I don't have any clips, but I saw a bunch of clips the last couple of days of people in the hood, basically the African-American community. And they're just saying, you know, Trump's our man. What they're doing to him, you know, we can totally relate. You know, they see things, you know, justice doesn't go their way ever. And so now they see it with Trump. So now they can relate to him and they're like, man, he's got my vote and he's got everyone on the streets vote, you know? And so it's changing. And boy, when you get rid of that base or you change that base over to vote for him, I mean, it's going to be so obvious, you know, outside of illegal voting, that the whole country is going to be behind President Trump.
Yeah.
So,
yep. And that's really, we're seeing the two-tier justice. We're seeing the silencing of, you know, this is the problem. And this is the reason, one of the reasons why we, you know, even started Wake the Bear Radio was basically, you know, we're getting censored on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. I mean, my Facebook still like is censored. People don't see it. I mean, it's just, you know, and it's like, because, you know, these organizations, you know, are becoming the control mechanisms for controlling what people think. And finally, you know, people are starting to actually say, hey, we're not into this anymore. This controlling American thought, you know, that's not what free speech is about. You know, we need to stop this. And of course, after, you know, Elon Musk, you know, whether he's a dark hat or light hat, I still to be seen. I think he's a good guy, but I don't know for sure. He might be playing both sides of the coin. But the reality is he bought, you know, Twitter and flipped it. And now it's being used to actually speak the truth. So we're seeing the censorship, you know, control mechanism, the industrial censorship complex falling apart. And it's great to be on the side of the digital warriors that are getting the truth out. You got a couple more here things about this whole case with Donald Trump. Let's check it out.
You going to put one up or you want me to put one up?
No, I think you're about to put one up, right?
I'll put one up then. This is a letter. You know, I wish I could zoom in, but it's a letter, official statement from Stormy Daniels. And it's from 2018, January. And I could barely read it. It's, I wish I could
zoom I can read in it. On this.
Oh, I can read it. Okay. It says, to whom it concerns, over the past few weeks, I have been asked countless times to comment on reports of an alleged sexual relationship I had with Donald Trump many, many, many years ago. The fact of the matter is that each party to this alleged affair denied its existence in 2006, 2011, 2016, 2017, and now again in 2018. I'm not denying this affair because I was paid hush money, as been reported in overseas owned tabloids. I am denying this affair because it never happened. I will have no further comment on this matter. Please feel free to check me out on Instagram. And then, you know, it's a little shameless plug there, the Stormy Daniels. And then she signs it. And so, you know, I find that very interesting that comes out. Sorry, I got to get this off here. I'm zoomed in. I'm trying to.
No worries.
Sorry. Nope. Stop. There we go. I lost my ability to get that. There we go. Off. StreamYard. I'm messing up there. But, you know, it's interesting that comes out. You know, here's a letter. And it's like, is that going to be front page news? No. You know, that's hidden in the back. So here's a statement that was made by her, and they still go after him, you know, and even this thing about the hush money, the whole thing comes down to Cohen, right? Michael Cohen, he represented Donald Trump and he was on retainer, and there's a possibility. And I don't know, we'll find out in the courts whether Donald Trump gave Michael Cohen money just to say, hey, can you just shut her up? You know, I've got a campaign. I've got to go. Just get her to be quiet. Whether it's true or not, that's one possibility. And that's what a lot of people were pushing for. And the other one is that he just paid Michael Cohen a healthy retainer. And he just says, take care of any problems. That's it, period. And Michael Cohen did the whole thing on his own initiative. The problem with Michael Cohen as a witness is he is a serial liar, and he's been proven over and over to be caught in lies. So he's actually a very unreliable witness. And I don't say that because I want him to be an unreliable witness. That's what everybody's saying. Even the mainstream media says that he is, you know, he's been convicted. He's been caught in lies. And so here's a guy who's could be very well lying, wouldn't be out of character. And the whole case is going to be off of that. And what they're saying is that if he has to take the stand, Avenatti was saying that Donald Trump has some real lawyers, some really good lawyers. And he goes, I don't know how he got them, well, you know, but he got these real lawyers. And he says they're going to have a field day with Michael Cohen.
Right.
Because, you know, you're going to catch him in his lies. So, you know, keep this whole thing in prayer, Christians out there. You know, if you don't like Donald Trump, then just pray that the truth would be made known, whatever that may be, because I believe that truth is on Donald Trump's side. But if you don't believe it is, just pray that the Lord would allow the truth to be made known. And that's all you need to pray. He'll do the rest. And that's really all we want, right? We just want the truth.
If Donald Trump has blown it, done something wrong, we want that exposed as well. What we care about though here is this policy. You know, when you look back and you go to the policies of Donald Trump versus the policies of these leftist organizations, this leftist administration, the current resident in chief, they're preposterous. They're ridiculous. And going back to things like, Easter, we're going to announce the transgender day of visibility on Easter Sunday, and don't see a conflict with that. You look at the way that they've just infiltrated transgenderism into our military, so that generals and people of high ranks are acting like they're women when they're men. I mean, just ridiculous things that are going to actually destroy military cohesion. The letting in of all of these illegal immigrants, people, that obviously are made by God and in His image and likeness, and we love them and we're for them, but we just want them to come in a legal manner, not just 20 million people unvetted.
I don't want them all in, to be honest.
Right.
Those that are criminals and rapists and murderers, I don't want you in. Stay away. That's no country wants that. You're asking for problems, Right. So you got to vet them, like you said.
Right. So we understand people wanting to come to this country. That's one of the reasons why this country is so great. You can always test whether a country is great or not. Are people trying to get in? Are people trying to get out? Rick Green always says that, right? He's right. People trying to get into this country because it is the greatest nation in the world, as much as people are trying to say it isn't. So we're in the middle of this type of battle right now. We have to continue to wake people up. I really believe that we are seeing a great awakening. I think we are seeing Christians becoming patriots, patriots becoming Christians. And I think, Ron, and if Chris is here, she'd say this too. We really do believe that the answer to all these problems is accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. That ultimately, the only way you're going to have discernment to tell good from evil, which that term means, the only way you're going to really be able to understand how to operate in this world is what Romans 12 says, that we are renewing our mind so that we may be able to test and approve what God's perfect and pleasing will is. And the beginning of that passage says, do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, perfect, pleasing will. How are we being transformed? How do we renew our mind? Well, one, you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. You have a relationship, but you open your heart to Him. You let Him speak to you. He works on your conscience. He works with the power of the Holy Spirit. He tells you, He shows you what's true, what's right, what's just, what's honorable. And then you read the scriptures, which tell you how it's laid out, what is acceptable to God and what is unacceptable to Him. And you, by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, obey the scriptures, right? So the way that people are going to actually, the way the church is going to be inoculated from being controlled by, all the world powers at war, is having that relationship with God where you hold fast to that, you seek His will, and you vote your conscience based on a relationship with Jesus. And you're not going to, it's very simple. Whether you like Donald Trump or like Joe Biden, I don't care about that. What I care about is this. Is there one group of people that wants to make sure that babies live? Or is there another group of people? And there's another group of people that wants to kill them up to the moment of birth, and sometimes even after, if they're undesirable. Okay, I'm going to vote for that group of people, not that group of people. Okay. I'm voting for the pro-life people. And Donald Trump is the only president that's ever been to the March for Life. Even Bush's didn't go. None of the conservative ones went. Okay. So his policies are pro-life, even though his most recent one is like a middle of the ground thing. I don't approve of that. But
I do approve of it real quick. The reason why. He is a man of law and rule of law. And for law to change, the people need to change. If you dictate your morality saying across the board, everybody has to do what I do, then then what happens is when evil people get in, that same power goes the other way. But if you break it down into states, which it originally should have been, each state is supposed to be its own country, then we can easily ratify state by state. It's another step, I get it, and it's a little slower, but it's more representative of the people. And if you're going to go with this form of government, he's just going by the books. And there's a wisdom in it too. You know, I think it was Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham wanted all or nothing, right? At an exact time where if you're going to start recruiting people to the Democrat Party for that one thing, he goes really extreme across the board, no exceptions, that sort of thing. And I think wise as serpents, gentle as doves. There's a time for these things. And I think that's another thing that may be playing in going that direction. So one, it's more of the rule of law, should be the states. It shouldn't be the federal government should not be dictating across the country. It should be state by state. I mean, that's just the way my understanding is the way it's formed. And the other is right before an election, you're going to go with the most extreme stance in some people's minds and rally them up and get them all fired up even more. When you can actually win this, it's not by compromising the message, but it's focusing in on the other things right now. Wait till you get your base before you do everything else. You know, if you've got governors that are believers across the states and it's a red wave, you're going to see these things change. And I believe the Lord will do that. So anyway, I'm not too upset that he did that. I don't think it was like he backed down. There might be some strategy to it. And also, I think it's closer to the rule of law. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump in real quick, but I just wanted to throw that in there.
And you and I can have a difference of opinion if I think that, that a child is made in the image and likeness of God, and therefore, if it's ruled a human being, then killing a human being in any time is bad and is wrong. So, and of course, if it's a political strategy, I get it, but that's my strong held opinion that if that is a human in that womb, then you don't have the right to kill it no matter what state it's done in or whatever, you know, that, and we can have differences of opinion. We can have differences of opinion on strategy. And I'm cool with that. The other big deal is transgendering kids in our schools. Like that's a big deal to me. A kid was transgendered in my daughter's school and it's pretty heinous story. And, I don't believe a girl should be chopping off her breasts and going by a boy's name. Even if she thinks that she is, you don't let kids make ridiculously crazy, non-reversible decisions when their brains haven't even fully developed and they're not even adults yet. And, you know, there's a party that's totally for that. And they're displaying themselves on the lawn of the Capitol building in front of the White House and putting up their flags next to the American flag. There's one party that's for that. And there's another party that's not. So whether you like these two guys or not, the point I'm trying to make is you need to vote what the scriptures teach. You need to vote your conscience. You need to vote with what's true, what's right, just in your relationship with God. So those are kind of the important things to me. Now, one of the reasons we started the Wake the Bear Radio is to actually cover things that the media is not covering. So one of the websites that we love to go to is on X or Twitter X. There's Vigilant Fox, and I want to point out a couple of these. Real quick before we are done for the night. And if you have anything else, Ron, please go ahead.
No, that's good.
So here's some stuff that I think people should check out. Check out Vigilant Fox, like Epoch Times. They are covering stuff that even Fox is not covering, that CNN and MSNBC, those guys are for sure not covering. So let's get a couple here going on. So number 10, JP Morgan CEO issues an urgent warning to America. I personally haven't read that one, but I'm going to jump right into it pretty quick. Number 9, mainstream media fails to mention showers with dad and molestation claims after Ashley Biden's diary leaker is jailed. So they're going to jail the person who found the diary. Okay. But they're not going. So which proves that it was true.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
If he didn't steal the diary, or, you know, what they're saying was stolen, which he was found, then you're admitting it was actually real. And if that, and of course the mainstream media fails to mention that Joe Biden had a practice of having showers with his daughter.
And she wasn't like a toddler. She was in her teens.
Yeah.
Pretty yeah. Wicked. That's pretty crazy. Or 11. And then you've something got like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty close to, you know, past puberty, probably.
Puberty.
So
yeah.
FBI quietly releases unclassified files on Ashley Babbitt during the solar eclipse. So they know, like, okay, well, there's an eclipse coming. So then we'll release all the documentation. So no one will be talking about it. And these guys are the masters of manipulation. And they release all this information, which is probably exculpatory evidence that shows that how they handled that was wrong, and why the person could shoot this young woman in cold blood when she was like not really a threat at all, and then then get awards, you know, for it. You know, it's just ridiculous to me. Here's a couple more. Number seven, a new World Economic Forum report reveals the global elite's shocking plan to enforce vaccination. Well, we knew about that from the beginning. I mean, Noah Harari's been talking about, well, there's this really cool thing now. We have the technology to control people and what they think, and we can actually track them under their skin. Oh, well, I wonder what he's talking about, under the skin, tracking.
Yeah, no, not good.
Dr. Phil is doing a really good job. He brutally destroys the DEI advocates in under 40 seconds. Check that out. I just saw an exchange. There was the son of Hamas, a man who was part of Hamas, who was bred to be Hamas, who is now a Christian. He is on Dr. Phil's show, and they have some Palestinian people, and they're just debating and discussing this whole thing. And Dr. Phil is just kind of really letting people talk and then saying, that sounds like a lie. That sounds like truth. Let's talk through it. And it was extremely well done. So check that out, and including this attack of the DEI.
Joe Rogan dropped with Dr. Phil lately. I've seen a couple of things with him. You know, he's definitely, it's another voice out there, and it's growing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And that's how it works. Truth tellers, if they're not suppressed, truth rises to the top, right? So if you don't suppress the debate, you get the truth. And that's the American value here. One big truth teller is Joe Rogan. He drops a theory explaining why most doctors are silent on the COVID vax injuries and deaths. Well, one, they're silent because doctors were actually given more money if they actually had the hospitals were given more money if they had put on their paperwork that the person died of COVID, right? So they were given thousands of dollars more. So, and then of course, I think some of it just comes down to the fact that there's cognitive dissonance. You know, it's very hard to admit that you were wrong. Oh, and by the way, you likely killed a bunch of people when you had just taken a Hippocratic oath when you started your journey into medicine. So do no harm, and you did a bunch of harm, and you basically parroted the mainstream media and the government psyop information to people, and they injected themselves. A lot of people injected themselves with, you know, probably saline or you know, something that wasn't immediately deadly. But if you look at the VAERS, the vaccine adverse reaction website, there's millions of people that died and are still dying, and they are not trying to find out why. Like the World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization and the CDC and the FDA, they're not launching investigations, nonpartisan investigations, to find out why the insurance companies reported that the all death mortality increased when the rollout of the jabs happened, right? And those guys don't lie. The insurance companies don't lie. I mean, if they don't make money, they let you know they're not making money, so that they just basically got rid of 72,000 people's insurance, home insurance. And you hear about this because of the fires. Because of so many of the fires in California, there's all of these insurance companies like Farmers and others that are dropping homes. My home is one of the ones that was dropped. Yeah. And because you're in a fire era, you too, really?
Yeah, we did. Well, we had to go with the fairness plan, which is ching ching, you know, a lot more money. So very frustrating. You know, with Joe Rogan, he I like the part where he covered, you know, what was it? Was it CDC? They came out with the advertisement and it says, you're not a horse, you're not a cow, knock it off, you know?
Right.
Very cocky and arrogant the way they did this. Like, you guys are idiots, you know? And it was really pointed towards him because he had gone public saying, hey, I fought COVID with ivermectin. And, you know, they were calling it horse paste and stuff. So it was really neat to see Joe Rogan get the last laugh, if you want to call it that. It's not funny.
Absolutely.
But, you know, at least get to say, hey, look, he's been vindicated. You know, CDC removed their ban on it. And now they admit, yeah, I could help, you know. And so it's nice to see someone that's such a large audience, a person that has a large audience, get to, you know,
get vindicated. Yeah. Well, yeah. And ivermectin was like considered one of the most safest drugs on the planet. And the CDC is like attacking people. You and others like myself, including my wife, you know, went to the pharmacy to get ivermectin when she actually had a doctor's note to issue ivermectin, and CVS wouldn't give it to her. And there's this pompous guy behind the tent. We're not giving that stuff out. You're like, why? We were giving it out before. Now we're not giving it out. Like, it's one of the safest medications. It won like awards, you know, for being safe and effective. And you're not going to give people it. It just, you know,
they should get sued. They really should. I mean, to override a doctor, I thought the doctor's the authority on that prescription, not the, the guy who fills the bottles.
Yeah.
Alex Jones. Yeah, fighting back.
Yeah. Speaking of being sued, Alex Jones is going to sue the FBI and the CIA after undercover video reveals the feds targeted him, which we all knew that.
Yeah.
You know, people. If someone made some shirts right now that said Alex Jones was right, those things would be flying off the shelves, because on like 90% and 95% of everything Alex Jones has been talking about, we're actually seeing happen right before our eyes and going, wait, remember that guy that used to be on the TV? He was kind of crazy. No, Alex Jones guy. Yeah.
Alex Jones. They're part of the New World Order. I like the way he talks.
He was talking about this stuff like 10 years ago, and I thought he was a weirdo. And it's like, he was right. Yeah. All this stuff is going on.
He broke up a lot of ground for the rest to plow through.
Yeah. Which leads me to share, by the way, I just had a phone call with Dr. Jerome Corsi, who was always on Alex Jones. And apparently I found out was actually one of the founders of InfoWars.
InfoWars. He worked with InfoWars.
He just released a book. Dr. Jerome Corsi released a book on JFK. And I talked to him on the phone the other day, and he's agreed to be on our show. So we were going to be booking him on our show. So stay tuned in the next couple of weeks, but he has a brand new book called The Definitive Truth on JFK, where they actually go through and look at the x-rays of his head, of the skull, and how it was altered. And like, they've looked at the skull and they've seen it proven that these x-rays were altered, and they're, what we were told officially by the FBI and the CIA were lies. And we'll see more about that.
Forward to hearing that, revealing more truth.
Well, I'm not going
to. Good.
We don't have to go into every one of these because we're well past the hour. But yeah, the CBS reporter accused a network journalist of rape for barring her efforts to expose government corruption. Then we're seeing that happen, incriminating.
That's
audio
Catherine Hedrick. She's been on Q a lot, or Q has referenced her quite a bit. Catherine Hedrick. Blanking out on her last name.
Well, it's right there.
Herridge. Okay. Yeah.
H-E-R-R-I-D-G-E.
Yeah. And so she, I saw that one. She really had some strong things to say, you know, basically what had happened was they not only fired her, but they took all her stuff out of her office, all her paperwork, because she would not reveal her sources of certain news items, kind of like Julian Assange, you know. And so she had refused. And so they fired her. They took it all. And then they eventually gave it back. But, you know, they went in through all her paperwork, cleaned out her office, and went through everything, you know. And she's like, this goes against the free press. I guess there's a law that protects the free press.
Yeah.
And she said, you violated it. And so she was, anyway, it was a good, she's very articulate. articulate already. So it was really neat to see her in front of lots of people.
Yeah, well, check these out. Check these stories out on the Vigilant Fox on X. I encourage people to go there. Some more stuff about Biden's ghostwriter. I found like all the classified documents stuff downstairs. He's actually audio taped. You know, it doesn't really matter if they get Biden confessing to crimes on audio. They don't prosecute him because he's an old man who can't remember things. And then, of course, this last one is a big one. This is a big one. Esteemed Japanese professor blows the whistle on the entire COVID scam. He actually talks about it being a psyop to take away human rights. And it's fantastic. Go check him out. And then Americans are flocking to the unwavering ally amid uncertain times. So if you want to check out any of these stories, go check them out on Vigilant Fox. We encourage you to use your brain. We encourage you to have a relationship with Jesus. And we encourage you to actually question the narrative. That's what we're doing here on Wake the Bear Radio.
Yep, absolutely. It was a good night. Covered a lot of good things. Those two main stories was the Israel-Iran conflict and the court with Donald Trump in the Stormy Daniels issue. So he will be victorious. I just know it. So can't wait to see that. Anyway, thanks for joining us. Tell a friend and hit like. We'll see you later.
God bless.